No, we didn't finish Isaiah, but we're just taking a little sidetrack to kind of have the Sunday school and the worship and the sermon all kind of go on the same theme. So we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now we're focusing on verses 3 through 9, but I'm going to read actually 1 through 9. I know I had 3 through 10 in the bulletin, but that was my error. So this one, if you want to turn there, otherwise it'll be up on the screen. So Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you have spoken to us your word. Lord, might we listen. Might we obey. May we hear you, O Lord. Father, I pray that your anointing would be upon me as I preach your word this morning. And I ask that you would bless us here now. That each person here would know that they've heard from you this morning. That each person would be encouraged and blessed and drawn closer to you. Father, we ask this through the name and the righteousness and the shed blood of your Son, our Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Hear, O Lord. Hear, O Israel. We often cry and say, "Hear, O Lord." But here we have Lord speaking to us. Hear, O Israel. 6 times in Scripture, the phrase, "Hear, O Israel," is used. 3 of them are directly related to this passage I read today. 2 of them are, quote, are right here in verse 3 and verse 4. We have, "Hear, O Israel." And then again, Jesus quotes it in Mark when he's asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he says, and he quotes, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." That's what Jesus responds. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. Where else is it used? Oh, well, it was also used in chapter 5 when Jesus came, or when Jesus, when Moses came down from the mountain after the people had just been set free from captivity in Israel, or Israel had just been set free from captivity in Egypt, and they're in the wilderness. Moses comes down off the mountain and he gives them the Ten Commandments. And the rest of the law, and says, "Hear, O Israel." And now here it says, "Hear, Israel." Tells us to hear. That means we need to listen. The word "hear" is used over 350 times in Scripture, not including "hears" and "heard" and "hearing" and things like that. Just "hear" with your ear. hear, listen. But only 6 times is the phrase "Hear, O Israel" used. We need to pay attention when that's used. And here it is. We need to listen. What is it telling us to do? We talked about this morning. That it gives us some fairly specific instructions. It tells us that these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The only time, apparently, that we're not supposed to be talking about God is when we're sleeping. How many of you have said, "My faith is a private thing"? How many of you have heard people say, "My faith is a private thing"? According to God's Word, it's not. It's not a private thing. It is something which we are to impress upon our children. Pastor John mentioned a verse in Matthew 28:19, I believe. Yeah. That's something that we refer to as the Great Commission passage. And there it's talking about as we go, as we're going in life. As you go, we are supposed to be taking the gospel and making disciples of all nations. That's what Jesus told us to do. And what did He say was the greatest commandment? To love the Lord our God. He says we're supposed to be taking that to everybody. And Moses is telling us here. Now remember, it's God speaking through Moses. That we're supposed to be keeping our faith front and center in our lives. We're supposed to be impressing them on our children. How are our children supposed to know what we believe if we don't tell them? Right? So we're to impress it upon them. Means teach it to them. Show them. Show it to them. Live it out for them. You need to hear us. Now sometimes, one of the best ways to be heard is to be quiet. And it's to live your faith. Right? When Donna and I went to Israel, we got to fly LL Airlines. And it was full. And a large number of the people that were riding on it were very traditional Orthodox observant Jews. And when it came time for prayer time in the morning, they got up and they prayed. They just didn't sit quietly in their seat. They got up, they put on prayer shawls, they took these things called phylacteries. Now, could I see my first slide, please? They took these things called phylacteries and they put them on and they prayed. Now, we didn't take any pictures of that thing, but we see this is at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and you see these guys, see some young man and an older man there. You see this thing on the top center of his forehead, the guy facing you? That's a phylactery. It's a box. It says, bind it to your head and tie it to your arms. This is what the way they did it. Next slide. Here you can see a young man in the foreground. He's got one phylactery on his hand with the straps to it wrapped around his arm, very tightly. Then you can see another one on his forehead, and a couple other gentlemen, young guys, and they all have these on the forehead of every one of the men in that picture, there is a phylactery. Some you can see well, some you can't. They are following the directions here of tying it on. Now, there's a way to... Sometimes you can just tie it on and just make that an empty thing. But the interesting thing about this is you need to remember what a phylactery is. It's a box. And inside that box, you've placed Scripture. It's not the entirety of God's Word. But what they've done is they've printed up some Scripture. And usually, they'll pick out scriptures that are very meaningful to them, or maybe when they did their bar mitzvah, there'll be specific scriptures that parents, somebody will stick in there and give them for their phylactery. And they'll put these scriptures in there, and they seal this box. They put it on. And they put it on in prayer time, and then they take it off. Now, again, as I talked about in our Sunday school class, why would you take it on and off? Well, I've got a ring on my finger as a reminder that I'm married. But most of the time, I honestly forget that it's there. I don't notice it unless I touch it or clip it on something. Most of the time, I don't feel it. But if I'm taking this off and on, it's constantly a reminder, So we have this. So we want to have, God's honest, we need to be constantly reminding ourselves of God's Word. But it's also physical and in front. When they put this on there, you can tell. They got a box on their head. They got this thing wrapped around their arm. They put on their prayer shawl and they pray and they kind of rock. Stand up, they do their prayer, take it off, put it away, all done. And they do that several times a day. But you had no question, understand, who are these people? Oh, that's a Jew. How do you know that? Well, they got this phylactery thing on their head and they're praying. Do they know, people around you know that you're a Christian? Do you have God's Word so prevalent in your life that they know that you're a Christian? Next slide. That is a shell casing from a very large gun, an artillery shell. And that is actually on the Zion Gate to the city, the old city in Jerusalem. And inside, that is another phylactery, another type of phylactery. And it says, put the word on the gate, on your gates. This is what they've done, is they've taken an artillery shell from the Six-Day War, and they crimped it, put it around the gate, put it on there, and then observant Jews, as they're going in now, what they do is they touch it. As they go in. God's Word. There is Scripture inside that casing. And that casing has been mounted to the gate. It says, write it on your door frames. Write it on your gates. There it is. On all our hotel rooms in Israel, there were these little boxes welded onto the side of the door. I'm like, what are these things? Reading this. Oh, figured out what it was. These are little phylacteries. And the observant Jews touch them as they come in and out. Now, door frames are very important. Why? The Passover. The blood of the Lamb was put on the door frame, and the angel of death passed over. The Word of God is to be on our door frames so that people know who it is we are. Now, am I telling you to go home and get a stencil out and write John 3:16 around your door? Or something like that? No, but you could. Wouldn't hurt. This idea that many people have who claim to be Christian, that their faith is a quiet, private thing, has no basis in Scripture. It says here that we're supposed to be impressing the Word of God's hand, and that we're supposed to be talking. Talk about them when you sit at home. Okay, sitting. And when you walk along the road. Sitting or walking, okay. And when you lie down, okay. And when you get up. Okay, so I'm supposed to be talking about it to my kids. I'm supposed to be talking about it as I'm walking in the road. I'm supposed to be talking about it as I'm sitting down. I'm supposed to be talking as I lie down. is talking as I get up. That means that, like, the last thing I should be doing before I fall asleep is, like, talking about God, talking with God. As a little kid, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mommy and daddy, grandma and grandpa. Occasionally my sisters. You know, that, what I learned. When I went to visit my grandfather, my most cherished memory with my grandfather is sitting in his lap as he read Hurlbut's story of the Bible to me and my sisters. It's children's Bible. And he'd read it to us. It was great. It was wonderful. It was awesome. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them to your children. How are you going to impress them to your children? Not by being quiet in your faith. Not by letting your children make up their own mind. Not by if I stood up here and was silent for a half hour, you would say I wasn't not doing my job. If you're not talking about God as you sit, as you walk, as you lie down, as you get up, you're not doing your job. This is the command that we have been given. We. It's not just the old Israelites, the Jews, but God's people. Who here wants to be counted among God's people? Okay. Well, your task then is to impress your faith among on your children and those others who you meet. Keep your faith front and center in your life, active. Keep the Word of God in front of you always. Now, I much prefer taking out God's Word and reading during prayer time as opposed to just wrapping it on my arm and having it in a box that I don't know what it is. But the whole intent here is, again, is the reminder to pray. It's that sensation thing. This is why they were doing it. I'm not telling you to go all out and buy these things or create your own. So if you were here for Sunday school, you now have your own phylactery. It probably won't last very long. It's made out of paper instead of more durable materials. But the Word of God is durable. And if we need to wear it on our shirt sleeve, wear it on our heart, and our heart needs to be out front where everybody can see it. There is nothing biblical about being private in our faith. Faith is not a private, personal matter. But it is indeed one that is meant to be public and shared. And God thought it was so important that he said, this is the most important thing we can do. Hear, O Israel. Hear, all children of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we come before you this morning giving you praise, thanking you that you were not silent, but you spoke, and the world was created. You spoke, and you sent your Son to redeem us. You spoke, and you've given us hope. You spoke, and you've given us forgiveness. You spoke, Lord, and you gave us a task, that of taking the gospel to all the world. Lord, might we do so, but might we start at home and take it to our children, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our brothers and sisters, our siblings, our parents, grandparents, cousins, Lord, our family, our co-workers, our neighbors. Lord, might we not be obnoxious in that endeavor, but might we do it in such a way that leads others to you and leaves no question in their minds about your love and your faithfulness. And that hope resides in you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.